A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad. We're joined, as always, by top London radio DJ and certified Japanophile, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how you doing?
I'm a topless radio DJ today. Topless London radio DJ.
Yes, it's quite the sight.
It's so hot in here, guys. We are so hot right now because it's the summer here in London and I've got my shirt off.
Yes, I'm here.
I will be putting my shirt back on, but I'm just giving us like 5 minutes. All right,
I'm here in London sitting next to Pete recording this and it's quite distracting having Pete topless.
I have very pointy nipples, Chris.
Drink
them in.
What I will say is you have a better figure than I do.
Drink
I'm, of course, fat now. As we discussed in last week's podcast.
You're not fat. You've got height, which annoys me.
I'm literally the same height as you.
You're literally not the same height as me. You're literally taller than me.
Centimeter. Literally.
It's very upsetting. I saw this really tall dude in the street. Like, you know, like kind of world record, Guinness World Record kind of tall. He was walking down the street and I was like, wow, that guy is tall. And I turned the corner and there was this really tall guy. But like, you know, like you or I think, oh, it's a really tall guy, but like 6'4", 6'3".
Yeah, yeah.
That's how tall the second guy was. And he was turning it in the street and I felt like grabbing this guy and going, you probably think you're really tall, don't you? But honestly, it's nothing compared to that dude. He's like fucking 7 foot. He's massive. Incredible. He's taller than a post box. Sorry, not a post box. That's no achievement. Phone box.
He should go to Japan.
A London phone box.
He should go to Japan and it'd be like Attack on Titan. Is it?
Oh, mate. They'll be putting effigies on top of Shinjuku
Is it Attack
high
on
rises.
Titan, the one with the giants?
I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say yes because I don't know any of that nonsense.
Oh.
Which is the one where the man, where the little boy wears a One Piece. He wears a little hat.
The pirate boy.
Yeah.
This is awful.
Is he a pirate?
This is knowledge. A lot of you guys listening to this will probably love Japanese pop culture, anime stuff. I don't really do anime and I never have. So
Attack on Titan. He's pretty big. He's got no skin.
I can't even tell you what Naruto is. Attack on Titan is Attack on Titan, isn't it? The big scary alien monsters that eat people's heads.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, territory surrounded by three enormous walls of gigantic man-eating humanoids.
If you're 7 foot tall and go to Japan, you are effectively the antagonists of Attack on Titan.
Well, that guy looks like he's got no skin. Does that make him a better Titan or a bad Titan?
I don't know. I'm not well versed with the narrative of Attack on Titan.
His skin's certainly not tight. Titan.
Did the guy that you saw in the street have skin?
As far as I can tell, unless he was wearing a full suit in summer, which was ill advised, though I imagine he has a lot of surface area in which to dissipate heat.
Moving on. I sometimes remember. So I've been in the UK a few weeks now, ladies and gentlemen. I come back to the UK once or twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
I've been trying to do it in summer because recently Japanese summers have been horrific.
Yes.
Last year, thousands of people went to hospital because the heat was bonkers. It broke new records. It was over 44 degrees Celsius. And because it's so humid in Japan, it feels like 50. It's horrific. So I've started coming home to the UK in Christmas when it's nice, and because Japan doesn't do Christmas very well, and in summer now.
Right.
And the UK is a lot more pleasant in summer. But when I'm walking around doing things, going about my daily life here, I do remember why I left Japan, why I left the UK to go to Japan. And the answer is football.
What?
I am one of 8 people in the UK who doesn't like football. I realise coming in here and saying this is like, you know, this is
Pete. This is the home of the football ramble.
Pete does the football ramble, which is one of the biggest football podcasts in the world.
The football ramble built this studio, and you dare to come into our manor and slag it's off like our
walking into
product.
A church and telling a priest you think Jesus is rubbish.
Yeah.
Literally the same thing. But I...
It's like me going to Japan and call it crapan and leaving immediately within a day.
Sure, I'm sure people do that. I've never really got football. Growing up, I never really got into it. But all my friends, all my colleagues, everything I ever did,
all right.
You know, that's all they talk about in the UK. We are obsessed with it. I forget that. Obviously, soccer is a thing in Japan. It's pretty popular. I think it's the second biggest sport after baseball. But it's still not on the same level as the UK. And
right.
if you don't like football, you do feel a bit left out in the UK.
Yeah, it is quite ostracising, I think. There are other, you know...
I remember I had to lie that I knew things about football. People are like, which team do you support, Chris? I'd be like, oh, Manchester United.
Manchester Villa.
Yeah, Alex Ferguson. Alex Ferguson. I do like Alex Ferguson. Great guy. And a cool team. But yeah, I used to just cite Manchester United as being the team that I support. And then people were like, oh, you see that game with Arsenal? And I'd be like, oh, yeah, it's good when they kick the ball.
But I came to football very, very late. I was about 16 before I actually enjoyed football. And I watched the World Cup 94. I would have been 16. I would have
been
younger than that.
Don't contaminate my radio podcast with your football knowledge.
I would have been 13.
Keep it away from me.
Yeah.
But when I've established my empire, football will be replaced with dodgeball.
The Japanese love football, though. They've got some good teams.
No, football's going to be gone. Dodgeball is going to be the new global sport.
Dodgeball.
We can repurpose the footballs into dodgeballs, and it is vastly more entertaining than football. But yeah, I remember, though, I was so happy to escape Japan, because then it meant I never had to pretend to know anything about football again.
You're a Yaku man.
Got to my school in rural Japan, middle of nowhere, couldn't be any more rural. Got into school and all my students had fucking Arsenal, Manchester United football cases, pencil cases. And I was like, and they're like, what team do you support? And I was like, no,
said Manchester
not again.
United. They're
because
not
for some reason, in rural Japan, all the kids love Manchester United, Chelsea and Arsenal.
Right.
I don't know how, I don't know why.
Well, Manchester United had a Japanese player for a while, so that might have been something to do with
That'll do it.
And David Beckham,
And I would lie again. I'd be like, oh, Manchester United. And then they'd tell me the name of the Japanese footballer who's in Arsenal, who's in Manchester United. And I'd be like, oh, yeah, he's my favourite. Love him when he kicks the ball. Anyway, there you go. That's why I left the UK. Football.
Yeah.
Football.
There was, Shinjigawa? No, he doesn't. He first had Borussia Dortmund. I can't remember who played for. I'm trying to remember who. There's a King Kazu is a footballer who plays in Japan, and he's. I want to say he's 52.
Right.
He's really getting on. That is very old. And an ex Premier League footballer has joined him at his J League 2 club. Not a great club. And I don't think King Kazu plays many matches, but like they've got a combined age of like 93 or something. It's insane.
They don't stop.
Got a lot of time for that.
It's interesting, actually. One of the news articles I wanted to talk about this week, and we've got two, actually ties in with what you've just said.
Oh.
Life expectancy in Japan continues to rise in 2018.
Yes.
Japan does have the second highest life expectancy in the world.
Who's in front?
You've got to guess. And it doesn't include places like Monaco, which aren't countries.
Right, okay.
Sovereign states. Well, then again, I suppose that's... Yeah, actually, that doesn't work then, because the number one spot is Hong Kong.
Sweden. Oh, Hong Kong, right, okay.
Let's not get political.
In the middle of an annexing.
But no, Japan is number two. People there simply don't die in Japan now. They live till 87.
Right, okay.
Women in Japan live to 87.3 years old.
It's always the women.
But what's interesting, it's up a little bit since the year before. And men, the life expectancy of men in Japan is up to 81.
Is there something to do with, obviously, African Americans have a lower life expectancy than Caucasians?
Yeah.
Is there due to the fact that the Japanese are so racially, they're one thing effectively? Their immigration is
homogenous.
It's a homogenous ethnic.
They're one thing.
There's very little ethnic diversity
in
Japan.
98.5% of Japan's population is ethnically Japanese, I think.
So that's
a variety of factors.
And also diet as well.
Diet is the main one, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think people in Japan they do live pretty healthily generally, eating mainly fish and rice.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's something I'd like to look into, but it's almost a burden to society in Japan, given that the demographics of Japan it's a reverse pyramid. So you've got, I think the vast majority of people in Japan are actually over 60.
Right.
Was it 2/3? I can't remember the exact statistic, but a lot of people in Japan are over 60, far too many.
Mm.
And because childbirth levels are pretty damn low, they're not replacing the population. So the younger generations are being burdened with this huge elderly population, and they're not going to be able to pay off the pensions.
I'd be fascinated to see what their wholeheartedly what space politically they inhabit, because obviously Britain as a whole has voted to leave the EU and made. They've got this big idea of the Dunkirk spirit and all that bullshit that we're going to be okay. I would like to know what the Japanese kind of older the older generations where they are politically and how that skews the voting populace.
Yeah, I think a lot of Japanese people, and I talked about Brexit, and I don't want to go into. That's another reason I'm glad I'm not in the UK at the moment, hearing the word Brexit over and over. No matter what you believe in, I think everyone's fed up of the whole word and idea of Brexit. But in Japan, they were kind of shocked that we were leaving the EU.
Yeah.
Because it is economically not good.
Yeah.
Basically. It's
Turkey's
in the short term, mid term, economically, it's going to harm the UK.
Huge. That's all right. We were selling some lambs to Japan.
Sell
the lambs to Japan.
And obviously, Japan has a trade deal with the EU now, which we're not going to get. So, yeah, they were shocked about that.
Yeah. There was a man in Golden Guy who, weirdly, he's a guy who, like, just got a guitar up. Big headed man. Massive head. Old man.
In Golden Guy. Very the tall. Very, shack district in Shinjuku.
Very tall. Very tall, but massive head. This bloke, and he got a guitar out and he started singing a very specific Beatles track.
Of course it was. Literally every Japanese person that ever sings to me with a guitar is singing a Beatles song.
Hugely. I Want to Hold Your Hand. And that was his song.
Right.
And I was watching.
Did you hold his hand?
I didn't hold his hand while he was singing,
shocking.
No. Two things. He was asking us in very broken English what we thought. And again, you talked about vocabulary last week. I just shouted, we want to be friends, like Tomodachi, like we want to be friends with Europe. And so just learn the odd word. And you'll be fine. You'd have to learn the grammar around it. Tomodachi.
See, I was on Japanese news talking about Brexit many years ago. The day it was like announced, they came into my apartment. I talked about it. Imagine, and I did it in English. Yeah. They translated it. Imagine if I just done it in broken Japanese. Tomodachi. England, Europe, Tomodachi. No. But not Tomodachi.
God loves a tryer.
That'd be a great YouTube channel explaining geopolitical situations in broken Japanese. With someone who's learning Japanese.
Hugely. And also this guy who was playing the guitar,
Did he become your Tomodachi?
Well, I think he wanted to.
Tomodachi means friend. The few people that don't know that.
I only know it from the Nintendo game Tomodachi Life.
Very good.
Friend Life. We were singing away, and I saw one of those, you know, I did that video, like the clickbait thing, like the 10 things to do in Japan.
Oh, we look at him plugging his new YouTube channel.
But there was another one that was suggested on my thing. So I watched that one because everyone's got the same bloody video. That's why I'm not including you on that one.
Oh,
you
good.
Do other stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that they have the same thing. It's like, 10 things to need to know in Japan.
My last video was called 10 things to do in Tokyo.
First 10, all right. No, that's around the station. That's very specific.
I'm just as bad as
very
everyone else.
Specific.
I can't deny it.
Yeah, but then you do documentaries, you do the journey across Japan.
I did.
I'm not having got you. I'm just saying that a lot of big companies just seem to just send someone over there and they film the same bollocks. And then they go, there you go, you got to do all this stuff. But yeah, we've done a year and a half of this now, Chris. We are dedicated on the podcast to providing a service.
Haven't missed a single week.
Exactly. And so these guys have filmed all around Tokyo, and they filmed Golden Guy, and the same guy was singing the same song same guitar. So he's still, and I could see the reticence from the bloke who owned the little house that we were in, the little bar that we were in, to give the guy the guitar, but he must do it every bloody night, hilariously.
A lot of Japan is like that. Things that happen, what appear to be spontaneous, often aren't.
I did
a video
every night.
You can look up a video called 500 Kilometers in 3 Days, right. Traveling Japan, and... In that video, we went to a mask-making factory, make these weird, crazy masks in a little neighbourhood, little town in Fukushima, Fukushima area. And while I was looking at the masks, there was this old man, like, in the corner, painting a mask very quietly. He must have been late 80s.
Yeah.
He was very elegant and nice. And all of a sudden, he put on this boombox player that he just pulled out of a cupboard, put on this crazy music and started dancing. It was brilliant. Everyone got involved. Realtor was dancing.
Yeah.
It's a hilarious little scene. Check out the video just for that.
I think I've seen that.
And I thought, oh, that's quite unique. That's quite cool. And then over the years, I've seen various people filming this guy doing the exact same thing. He starts there quietly painting, whacks out the boombox, starts dancing like a maniac. And it's brilliant. But yeah, it makes you realise that a lot of Japan, it isn't spontaneous. It's all just carefully choreographed.
He got a good reaction.
Or maybe he was just very good at playing I Want to Hold Your Hand.
Yeah, maybe he just wanted everyone to
And he couldn't play anything else.
Oh, yeah.
Like my dad, who can only play like one song.
Right, okay.
Stairway to Heaven.
That's pretty. That's pretty technically.
It's only the first 30 seconds of Stairway to Heaven. Yeah, it's just that. Yeah. Anyway,
Total Guitar riff of the month, March 2001. Or something. Oh yeah, yeah. Shall we go to the fax machine?
No,
no.
We've got one more news article.
Oh, sorry, mate. Go on then.
How dare you? How dare you? I'm supposed to come. This. I wanted to talk about this before, actually. So recently, there was a nationwide test result showing that Japanese students are poor at English, speaking, writing.
Oh.
And I think this ties in with the last article. If you're going to be living till the end of time, which is 82 years old, 87, you should know some English. I think it'll open your horizons. I find a lot of... My Japanese tutor, who sadly passed away now, Mr. Ito, Ito Sensei, who's in the Teaching Swear Words book video.
Oh, right, yeah.
For fuck's sake, dude. Awesome guy. He didn't start learning English until he was like 50 or 60.
Really?
And he kind of retired. He was a little bit bored and he was like, right then, let's learn English. And he kind of really put into it then. And so I find a lot of people in Japan reach 40, 50
and think,
years old and start to regret not knowing English.
I see.
And it's a real shame because at that age, it's a lot harder to learn a language and put the time, effort into getting that done. So I find Japanese, they're trying to change the educational system at the moment in Japan. But the results were that in English speaking, Japanese students only were getting 30%.
Right.
The average score of 30%, which is very low.
Yeah.
And certainly when I was an English teacher, we didn't really test them on their speaking that much. When I was running the class or trying to make the class and the lesson plans, I always tried to put emphasis on the speaking component because that's the bit where language becomes fun, I reckon.
Hugely.
You know, when you're out there talking to people, having conversations, that's when learning Japanese got fun for me, when I could go to a bar, get drunk and chat in broken Japanese. That was the fun bit.
Yeah.
So they need to throw some more emphasis on that. They are learning. They are trying to do that. They're trying to introduce a new curriculum in 2021, but it's a little bit too late, I find. They should be getting on with it now. Mm. Japan's English education system, for those of you, and there's lots of people, because it's August, a lot of you guys will be going over there to teach English now on the JET program. Thousands around the world will be going. And you're going to find what I did, which is that the education system, when it comes to English, is pretty bad in Japan. They haven't learned how to do it yet.
And also the discrepancy between male and females as well, any language around the world, it's usually women are way better at learning, way more.
My best students were female.
Yeah.
I have a comprehensive English class, which is where students could choose to actually study English and do fun things. And it was, I think I had 12... I had about 15 girls and one guy.
Right.
Great guy. But it kind of shows you that certainly when it comes to languages, it's very much the girls, females in Japan that seem to go towards that. But, you know, the problem was they never taught Japanese students why learning English is useful or fun. You know, that you could go and discover the world. You can unlock careers around the world. You can go and make friends really easily in different cultures and countries. And actually, the number of Japanese students going abroad overseas internationally to study has been going down in recent years.
Oh, really?
Because they don't seem to be put much emphasis on that, which is a shame. I feel like Japan, though I think I said last week that Japan feels like a bubble sometimes with TV, right? Japan is like a bubble. It needs to still face outwards and they need to really do something about it as far as I'm concerned, because they're wasting. I find that if Japan wants to build bridges with the outside world, they should really throw some more emphasis on language learning.
And also, it prevents you from travelling as well. It just makes things a hell of a lot more difficult.
Well, take Natsuki. He's only travelled abroad twice, once to Hawaii, which is essentially got such a big Japanese population that it's almost like an extension of Japan to some extent. Most Japanese people will go to Hawaii at some point in their life. And the UK. And the only reason he went to the UK is because I was there as his sort of tour guide to help him. Even though Natsuki, with his broken English, can still get around, by relatively comfortably in the UK and overseas. But yeah, there's that sense of reluctance to travel overseas because of it. So,
hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Yes, I think they should definitely put some more effort in, especially if you're going to be living that long.
Yeah.
Think of all the Harry Potter books you could enjoy in English, the way they're supposed to be read.
Well, I mean, there are some upsides as well.
Poor old J.K. Rowling. Mm. Anyway, we've got some questions. What have we got, Pete, in the fax machine, which has been piling up the last few weeks?
Oh, we got a message from Jean-Francois from Ottawa, Canada. Hello, Jean. Hi, Chris and Pete. I enjoyed the podcast. I've downgraded that from I love the podcast because I felt like it. And I'm glad you two are currently reunited in Tokyo. Well, we're currently reunited in Britain.
We've been reunited far too frequently in the last month.
Too much.
First Tokyo, now.
Familiarity breeding contempt. I like to listen to your lively voices while I'm eating eggs, bacon, and olives for supper.
Wow.
That's a very little.
Eggs, bacon, and olives.
That's not a bad little.
It's the Canadian diet.
I'd take that. Can you please explain what the deal is with business cards in Japan? Does it make sense for tourists to make business cards for a trip to Japan? I would like to see that. That's a lovely old job.
I'll nip that one in the bud. No. Unless you're doing business, yeah. Jean-Francois, then take business cards. But if you're not, if you're going for a holiday, don't worry. Don't worry about it. Yeah, obviously in Japan, everyone does carry a business card, no matter what you're doing.
A little business card holder. Pretty classy.
And they're not, well, the business card holders.
Business card.
When words blend into one, business card holders are always very nice. The actual business cards in Japan are usually fairly standard.
Right.
I remember when I was making some business cards, which I don't use anymore because I just hate handing things out. I used to have some really nice, elaborate ones for the Abroad Japan channel. And I was like, special card made out of this like bespoke card.
Bone.
The bone of an extinct animal.
Yeah.
And rounded edges, no less.
Oh.
So the corners never get screwed up. I'd hand these out and they'd sort of look at them and then they'd kind of look like I'd insulted them a little bit, people around Japan, because I'd gone too far. Business cards are just kind of there to just put in your pocket and be done with it.
Yeah.
And people don't put that much effort into making them nice, expensive and shiny.
Right, okay.
But yeah, when you meet someone in Japan, odds are you will, in a business environment, you will be passing over business cards like 95% of the time. So it's a good idea to hold one if you're doing business. If you're not doing business, don't worry about it. You won't need it.
No.
And we've talked about business cards in a previous episode, I think.
Yes.
But I don't know where or when. So we'll have to go back through the last 75 podcasts with Jean-Francois and find out more about
that. Is that what number we're on, 75?
I don't know.
No, it's not 80. Well, it's got to be, yeah, because it's 80, been a year and we didn't want every... Good God. What's wrong with us?
Ridiculous.
Sorry about that, everyone. Lucas has got in touch. Hello, Chris and Pete. My name is Lucas and I'm from Spain. I started watching anime and I got really curious about Japan and that's when your videos entered. And I fell in love with Japan and my dream is to live there. I'm a college student coming from Spain where half of college students have smoked weed. How common is weed in Japan and what is the government position towards it? Unequivocal, I'd say.
Oh, yeah. Don't do weed in Japan.
Don't do weed in Japan.
Drugs have a zero tolerance policy in Japan. There was a case of a teacher coming to Japan I think he got some weed brought in or something and he was in prison for like a year.
Jeez.
They take it extremely seriously.
It will be the last place that allows weed. Starts to settle down and everyone, all the countries sort of in turn, they will be one of the last.
They don't like it. I do know some people that have done it, I think, in the past, but it's incredibly risky. I would never go near drugs in Japan at all.
And especially because you can't do it without, you could have maybe eat some stuff maybe or like eat a gummy or something, but you couldn't, smoking it, it's just, you can just smell it, you know what I mean? Like it's really
On the way here, we're in central London right now recording this, I smell it at least 80% of the time I was walking here.
Usually.
There was weed blowing on the wind because everyone in London does it.
Yeah.
And it seems to be fine here.
I don't. I like bad booze, which is 10 times worse for you.
Well, that's the thing. That's the sort of hypocrisy of it in Japan.
Usually.
You get free cigarettes. I've been in, they have teams of people that go around handing out new flavours of Marlboro cigarettes.
Yeah.
I've been sitting in a bar and a woman, a really nice woman will come around and be like, hello, what flavour of cigarettes do you want? Menthol or strawberry? And you're like, menthol. And they'll give you these cigarettes, a pack of actual cigarettes to smoke for free. Whereas in the UK, we've banned packaging that even looks like cigarettes. It's insane. They have this kind of really half-hearted approach to it. It's kind of hypocritical. It's ridiculous. My stance on weed is it's not that bad, really.
Those packets on the packets of the, do they have like the throat injuries? Business.
Another thing, they do that around the world, right? If you look at cigarettes in other countries, they have pictures of people with cancer and their throats falling apart, and that genuinely does actually put me off smoking. What? I did used to smoke a fair bit in Japan, by virtue of the fact it was difficult to avoid it, and all my friends did it, and it was quite relaxing after work. After spending a day trying to teach kids Japanese, teach kids English, you're at your breaking point, you need a cigarette. Yeah. But I don't do it now, and I would never do drugs in Japan. That's the takeaway from this.
Usually.
Don't do drugs in Japan, don't get deported, don't get put in a prison.
Try and avoid it if you can.
Got one from Gavin here. It says, hi Pete and Chris. Quite the wrong way around, Gavin.
Oh.
You guys have talked a lot about places to travel for entertainment and adventure, but I was wondering, what's the best place to propose to a partner? My partner in particular loves sunsets, nature, and especially rain.
Get a lot of that.
So a place with just any one of those would be great. And lastly, I wanted to ask Chris, which one of his videos is his most prized work? P.S. Pete is the GOAT. Pete is the GOAT. I don't know what that means.
That might be
Have a great day, Gavin. What's GOAT?
GOAT meaning. Hang on.
Are you typing in GOAT meaning acronym into Google?
Hardy. A lecherous man.
A what?
A lecherous man, apparently.
You are a bit lecherous.
What does it mean because you've got...
Pete.
Greatest of all time.
Right. Pete, you're going to propose to your partner.
Right, okay.
Where are you going to propose? In Japan.
The Hachiko entrance of Shibuya Station. I don't know, man. Go somewhere really pretty. I mean, the problem is holidays are like, go to like Nara or something in front of it. Do it on the back of a deer. get one of the deers, get the ring on its ear.
Do it on the back of a deer.
Yeah.
That's far better than anything I could think of. I must say, that one of the most recent videos we did, 10 Things to Do Around Tokyo Station, Yota and I went to this beautiful viewpoint overlooking Tokyo Station. And he joked about it. He said, this is the place you should propose, 100% success rate, 100% or something ridiculous.
If you're proposing and you have in your mind anything less than a 98, I would not be proposing, quite frankly. You're not on solid ground on that one.
True that. Mm. I must say, Mount Fuji, summit of Mount Fuji. If you want, I mean,
summit, I see episodes.
Get up there for a sunrise. Right, get up there for a sunrise, 5 a.m, beautiful. That would be a pretty cool thing to do. A
lot of people there, though, aren't there?
Yeah. It's true. It would be a lot of effort.
Just find a lovely, a beautiful park. Yogi Park. It's all relaxing.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it in your Yogi Park.
Dengue fever. Dengue fever. Coolish. Hide it in a Coolish. What's that rattling around in our empty packet of Coolish?
I feel like I should give an answer here, but I don't know where.
Somewhere nice and rural.
Monkey Park.
Kamakura.
Kyoto Monkey Park.
Okay, right. Monkey Park.
You're not convinced by that, are you?
No. The monkey will steal the ring.
But what a great story it'd be. If I ever proposed to someone,
right,
I would think, how will I, is this a day that I want to remember in 20 years? Yes. Yeah. How can I make that happen? Mm. So I'd do something quite weird. Like I'd go to a maid cafe and have the maids bring the ring out on a pillow or something.
Terrible.
I don't know.
Terrible.
I would, awful. I'd probably be very romantic because I'd be doing it.
It'd the
be...
block, the block in Parks and Recreation of Ron Swanson, can't remember the actor's name, but he took his wife to be. Megan something Lalely Delaley, I can't remember. She was in another TV show, and she and they would go up like the Eiffel Tower and stuff. And he had like several fake rings, so he would get the ring out and he'd drop it, and he dropped it all around Paris, and then finally she got the real one.
That's amazing. See that's I think the location is probably less important than the way he did it.
Yeah, hugely.
The way that
there's
a rickety Ferris wheel in Osaka, overlooking the Sea World. Do it there.
Is that right? Okay.
It's absolutely terrifying when it's windy. I still have nightmares about it. I thought it was going to get blown over. Do it there. That'll stay forever in your mind. There's and the view's good on a clear day. If it's
there's
not
a
too
big.
Windy.
I was talking about Odaiba, the Rainbow Road. There's a nice big wheel there, quite old, but great views of Tokyo.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go.
Last question is from Dimitri from Brisbane. He says, "Hi, gents. Love your work. I'm moving to Tokyo next week for 12 months as my wife has scored a gig there.
Ooh.
I've binged on every podcast over the last 3 months and every second word out of Pete's head seems to be Coolish. Mm. This stuff isn't the best thing I eat in Tokyo, Pete. I'm coming after you, Hunger Games style." Dimitri from Brisbane.
I think I get a lot of nice messages about Coolish saying it's very nice. But to be honest, I think anyone who's genuinely expecting the most delicious ice cream in the world, it's going to fall short. It's going to fall somewhere short, I'm afraid.
And I think we should actually just ban the word Coolish from the podcast.
Get lost. It's Coolish's life.
It's banned. Keep the comments, Coolish's questions, life. Stories coming into abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. Guys, we'll be back same time next week. Do it all over again. But for now, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great week. We'll see you then.
They should pay me to go for a day
to the Coolish factory.
Just pick up a Coolish from a 7-Eleven and then get back on a flight.
I'm going to find a stick.
Collect my Coolish. The man who came to Tokyo just for a Coolish. You hear me, Lotte?
This was a Stakhanov production.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.